news for Thursday, the 4th of August, from Radio Dialect. 14 people have been rescued from a blazing building in the St Paul's area of Bristol today. The fire broke out in a ground floor flat in Backfields Lane behind Stokes Croft at about 10 o'clock last night. That's Wednesday. Fire crews used ladders to reach those stranded, while 16 residents were prevented from entering the building because of the flames. Six people were taken to hospital for treatment, and the cause of the fire is still being investigated. English Heritage's application for a new visitor and access facilities at Stonehenge has been refused planning permission yesterday, 26th of July, by the Planning and Regulatory Panel of Salisbury District Council. English Heritage is very surprised and disappointed by this decision, because approval had been recommended by the authority. But they believe that the grounds for refusal are ones that can be easily addressed and will be resubmitting the scheme. Consumption of gas and electricity in homes across Britain's regions are compared for the first time in new analysis published by the DTI this week, and it highlights some striking observations about the South West. Energy Minister Malcolm Wicks said that we probably all have a rough idea which parts of the country are colder than others, which tend to be more affluent, which have better housing. But the new analysis shows for the first time a picture of the impact these factors have on the levels of gas and electricity used. The analysis compares for the first time gas and electricity consumption in England's nine regions and in Scotland and Wales during 2003. An average gas consumption per household across Britain was 20,000 kilowatt hours in 2003, but only the South West stood significantly out from the national average, with a consumption rate 11% lower than the national. The next lowest was Great London. That was the news, and now I believe we have some sport.
Thanks, Rich. Yeah, moving on to football. With the football season bearing down upon us, Bristol's two clubs should both be looking to improve on their disappointing 2004-2005 seasons. With Bristol Rovers being last season's bore draw specialists, the recent signing of Coventry keeper Scott Shearer, and with star striker Richard Walker predicting a 20-goal tally, Rovers should be looking to really push for promotion, albeit more realistically from a playoff place. Manager Ian Atkins was all too aware of last season's failings and said, "If we defend as a unit, are prepared to put our bodies on the line and keep our shape, then we'll win games. As a defender, you want clean sheets. If that means kicking the ball 50 yards to clear our lines, then so be it." Rovers kick off their campaign with an away game at league newcomers Barnet. Rovers also announced today a new 3-year sponsorship said to be worth a 5-figure sum. The deal with Interbrew UK involves refitting the Memorial Stadium's 10 bars and renaming 2 stands. Director Kevin Spencer said the deal would benefit both Bristol Rovers and Bristol Rugby. With the recent expansion plans for the Ashton Gate home being approved and the signings of experienced strikers Marcus Stewart and Michael Bridges, Bristol City manager Brian Tinian should be positively salivating at the club's prospects. After a comfortable 7-0 win over non-league side Exeter, Tinian said, "I've assembled a strong squad now with cover in every area. We're ready for the new campaign." And so he should be. City begin their season with a home tie against Doncaster. I'm David Williamson, and that was your football update.
Radio on.
Radio on.
Radio on. Radio on.
Radio on.
Radio, radio on. On.
It's brought to you by the Bristol Broadband Cooperative, live from the Trinity Community Arts Centre. I'm Tim Jennings.
And I'm Gemma Honour. Tonight's show, we're going to be bringing you music from The Strand and Blackfire. We're going to be bringing you a film review from Dave Williamson, Jeff's What's On, and Stanley Forbes. We're also going to be playing a recording from a moving vigil outside a mosque in Easton.
So that's what's coming up later. But for now, here's Gemma with this week's weather.
The first of the season's ex-tropical storms is set to make it across the Atlantic, and this will affect the southern half of the UK. Some interesting facts about storms. Yes, Tropical Storm Franklin, which is his name, danced erratically across the eastern coast of the US for 8 days and nights from the 21st of July, and has managed to hitch a ride on a frontal wave which will reach the UK during the early hours of Friday. For Thursday, after the rain this afternoon, it will be getting rainier overnight for Friday. On Friday, heavy rain is expected in the early morning, easing off later in the afternoon. Over to the much-awaited weekend, Saturday will be relatively sunny with a nice feel outside at 18 to 20 degrees. Sunday will be a cloudier day than Saturday, still remaining warm and dry. Monday, heavy cloud and showers expected. It will feel humid with chances of outbreaks and sun later in the afternoon. Tuesday, a bright day, turning cloudier later on, feeling warm at 22 to 24 degrees. Wednesday will be overcast with heavy cloud, risk of rain later on in the day. And Thursday will be light rain and heavy clouds, temperatures cooling off slightly. I'm Gemma Honour, and that was the dialect weather.
Dialect is a community project run by volunteers, and we need you. If you'd like to get involved, check out our website at radiodialect.net.
And now for some music from the Cardiff-based band The Strand, and the track is called Leave It At The Door.
Say your money, our money, his money, her money, our money, say your money, our money, his money, her money, our money, say your money, our money, his money, her money, our money, say our money, our money, our money, our money, our money, say our money, our money, our money, our money, our money, say our money, our money, our money, our money, our money, say yeah. Yeah, say leave it at the door, son. Yeah, say leave it at the door, son.
And that was Leave It At The Door by The Strand, who can be found at the web address www.thestrandmusic.com. And now it's time for this week's Real Movie Review. Stealth, Well, Stealth is brought to our screens courtesy of Rob Cohen, the director of such cinematic masterpieces as Triple X and Fast and Furious. I seriously hope my sarcasm isn't too subtle here. A prototype unmanned, artificially intelligent fighter plane gets its circuits in a twist, only for a group of elite, aren't they always, US Navy pilots. These are made of Josh Lucas, Jessica Biel and Jamie Foxx, who all come across so insufferably smug and arrogant that I was rooting for them all to meet a grisly death at the hand, or rather missile, of the electrically jumbled jet. But sadly, that didn't happen, and what panned out was so distressingly predictable that I almost couldn't write this review. Please do not see this movie. Honestly, it just isn't worth anywhere near the £6 you'll have to cough up, and there are any number of other excellent movies out there to swallow up your hard-earned beer vouchers without putting yourself through this. On to this week's top 10. Number 10, down by a long shot, is Kicking and Screaming. Number 9 is Batman Begins. 8 is The Descent. See this movie, please. At 7 is Dark Water. 6, straight in, the not-bad, creepy voodoo flick, Skeleton Key. 5 is War of the Worlds. 4 is Wedding Crashers. 3, last week's Top Dog, The Fantastic Four. 2, Madagascar. And storming in at number 1, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. This week's recommendation is number 9's Batman Begins. Before the enjoyable but ultimately hollow Fantastic Four came this dark and brooding comic book adaptation from Memento director Christopher Nolan. With a rich history of 67 years to pick from, surely Nolan couldn't serve up a turkey the size of the last bat outing by Joel Schumacher. Unfortunately, he doesn't. With Christian Bale donning the padded rubber suit, ably helped along by his consistently watchable peers Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman and Gary Oldman, this really is a cast to whet the palates of even the most die-hard comic book geek. From the Batman origin story to the twin villains of Scarecrow and Ra's al Ghul to the kick-ass fight scenes, there really is enough here to justify the inevitable sequel, and I for one can't wait. That's it from me. I'll see you next week.
Thanks, David. The only film I know anything about was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, really. And I really love the original, so I have to ask the question, how does it compare in terms of class? Because the original was a class film.
It is a lot better. If anybody has seen any of Tim Burton's films from Batman and Big Fish and Sleepy Hollow,
I've been disappointed with some of them.
Yeah, it's got to that point where he's finally got a grip on it. You know, everything that those films should have been, this kind of is. Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka was good, but Johnny Depp's got that twisted psycho edge to him.
Right,
definitely
yeah.
Worth watching.
Gene Wilder's pretty dark. The famous Gene Wilder line, "We are the music makers, we are the dream makers."
Absolutely.
Is that one in? Does Johnny Depp?
It's not. He doesn't.
Right, so it's different.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thanks for that, Dave.
You're welcome.
Okay, now for some more music. It's Gonga with Stratton Fortress.
Bye.
Last Friday, 60 or so people from around Bristol gathered in St Mark's Road, Easton, on a corner between two of the city's busiest mosques. The occasion was a show of solidarity by local people with Bristol's Muslims, timed at 7 p.m. to coincide with the end of evening prayer. It was organised because of a marked increase in the attacks on Bristol's Muslim community.
Muslim Cultural Society of Bristol.
No, I'm all right.
Thank you for inviting us here today, and it's really appreciated that you decided to come out and support the Muslim community in this way. I know there's not a lot of Muslims here because right now they're in prayer in the two mosques, so hopefully in a moment they come out. I'll join them in a moment. What I would like to say is just a little prayer, actually. In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment, Lord of the Worlds, Thee alone do we worship, and Thee alone do we ask for help. Show us the straight way, the path of those who have earned Thy favour, not the path of those who go far astray. That's a prayer that we as Muslims recite in every single one of the five daily prayers. It's the first chapter of the Quran. There is no excuse for taking innocent life. It doesn't matter who the perpetrators are. There are causes, there are motives, and to deny it, to stop looking at it, or to close the debate is folly. We will eventually look at that. We must eventually look at the causes of why people do the acts that they are driven to do, why they feel that their life is worth sacrificing to make a point and taking other people's lives with them. But I don't think that time is yet come. I think for now we need to make it absolutely clear that taking innocent life or targeting innocent civilians is not justified in any way, shape, or form. There is no excuse for taking an innocent life. In Islam, this is something that we have to get. This message has to be sent to our young people who get their message of Islam from the same place that you get your message of Islam from. The same place that you are being taught what Muslims are is the same place that our young people are getting the message of what they think Muslims are. And that is the media, that is the websites, and that is hearsay. Okay, so if people out there think that Muslims are associated with terrorism or fundamentalism, imagine what young Muslims feel that they must be associated with. And it's in that there's no counteracting organized infrastructure within the Muslim community that can counteract those kinds of views. That's something that the Muslim community must ask itself, and we are asking ourselves. We must ask ourselves some difficult questions as to exactly where these kinds of ideas are taking root. And that's a responsibility of the Muslim community to sort out. But that also is no justification for the victimization of the vast majority of the Muslim community here in Bristol, or in fact across the country. And it's not just the Muslim community. The last couple of weeks, the shift has changed to asylum seekers, in fact towards anyone of a different colour. In fact, all minorities are suffering, are being brandished with the same brush as there's something to be questioned, something suspicious. And I remember reading, I think, the cover of Daily Mail, or the Daily Express? Gratitude. That's not what the vast majority of people feel, and that kind of headline is just nonsensical. But we have to do it together, we have to fight this together. And at the same time, Mr. Blair must ask himself some serious questions as to his role in all of this, and it's no point saying. He must have been under some severe pressure recently, because when he came out and lost his cool a couple of days ago when he said it's not justified in Israel and it's not justified here, he slipped, because what he then did was compare a war zone to London. And that's exactly what these terrorists want him to do. And he did it for them. And I think he did more of a recruiting job than some of these terrorists could have done. That's all I'd like to say, but thank you for listening.
My name's Dr. Chris Burns-Cox, and I've been getting increasingly obsessed by the evil performance of the British government and other governments over the last 20 years or so, and I just feel very strongly, as do hundreds of thousands or millions of British people, that one has to stand up and try to make a few basic points. In particular, here we are outside a mosque in Bristol, and particularly to point out to the Muslims of Bristol that most British people, and especially the people here this evening, making it obvious that we are totally behind them as people, and they mustn't be scapegoated or treated as being better or worse or any different to the rest of us. We're all potentially very evil, and the Muslims are certainly nothing to feel guilty about as a group.
My name's Nick Stone. I'm here because I'm absolutely appalled with what our government has done in Iraq. Tony Blair said that removing Saddam Hussein would make the world a safer place. It manifestly hasn't. It's made Britain a much, much bigger target, as the London bombings show. They've killed over 100,000 people in Iraq itself, made Britain a huge terrorist target. It's time for Blair to go. Absolutely appalled with this government.
What exactly is the point here? Well, there's not very many Muslims around.
Well, no, they'll be coming out of prayers in a minute. It's to demonstrate our solidarity with the Muslim community here in Bristol, because they're being scapegoated by the government, by the press. They're being blamed. And we want to say that we stand with them, and we know who's responsible ultimately for the atrocities in Iraq and the atrocities in London. We know that responsibility lies with our own government, and we stand in complete solidarity with the Muslim community here.
My name's Vanessa, and we're here to stand in solidarity with people, the Muslims here, who have been somewhat victimised in the press recently. As you all know, there's been attacks on the mosques, and basically they've been tarnished with the idea that all Muslims are automatically terrorists, which is totally unacceptable. In fact, it's racism. And so we're here to say that we are against bombings of all kinds throughout the world. That includes in Palestine, in Iraq, and in London. And that everybody here feels the same way. And is there anything that you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I'm Katrine. I'm a socialist worker, and I'm here to fight Islamophobia, which is something which has started long ago, not only with the Iraq war. And now it's really time to do something about it.
What is Islamophobia? What do you mean?
All kind of really funny ideas about what Muslims are and what Islam is, and you know, women are just beaten up and being held like slaves. And Bristol is a city with a very, very huge Muslim community, a lot of Somali people, and I think it's also time that we really start mixing with the Muslim community, live each other, invite each other, share feast food and whatever. And I hope this, maybe today, could be a start of doing this.
I'm Sarah Kemlin, and I'm here to express solidarity with Muslim people who are experiencing a lot of racism and harassment at the moment as a mistaken result of the bombings in London. It's just a total mistaken kind of generalisation from things that four people have committed. Some of the recent press, has been fairly horrendous in terms of stirring up hatred towards Muslim people.
Sophie Gardner. Well, I teach here, and this is, I feel, a place I'm identified with, and I just feel very sickened when the mosque, I believe, has had its windows broken. I hate all kinds of unthinking bigotry like that.
My name's Fliss Roberts, and I'm here just to kind of reassure the Muslim community on a personal level that if they are experiencing any like abuse or, you know, anything like that, that not everyone thinks that. And it kind of adds weight to what terrorists and fundamentalists are saying, that the Western world isn't concerned by Muslims and, you know, doesn't have any respect for them, is committing crimes against them. And I just think that it's important to show that normal people that live in the West are concerned and don't think that bombs should be dropped on Muslim countries or any other countries for that matter, and that there are other ways round things.
My name's Rob. I'm here basically because I've been seeing the headlines on the tabloids in the newsstands every day, and I'm just disgusted by their saying and really frightened that they must know what is going to be the result of these, of what they're writing. And it has been attacks on Muslims and asylum seekers and all other vulnerable groups, and I don't think we can stand for it. The most practical level, hopefully it'll like make the Muslims in this area feel that they're not completely isolated and most people won't stand for them being attacked. And then more generally, you know, if it's part of a wider movement, maybe we can start to raise questions about the war in Iraq and just the whole legitimacy of the government. If they've been told by their intelligence services, you go into Iraq, it will increase the chance of terrorism. They go into Iraq, they get bombed. Now, it seems to me, if we had a moderately decent government, they would resign. You know, the cabinet would resign. It's like, you've taken a gamble, people have died, you're out.
This is a vigil about showing solidarity with the Muslim community. This is a vigil with lots of different people who want to say they're completely disgusted by the attacks on individuals in Bristol, Muslim individuals both locally and nationally, and on the Muslim community as a whole. We think that these attacks, which come from the government rhetoric and come from other sources, are designed to divide us. They're designed to disguise the real sources of terrorist attacks. They're designed to keep us from the truth, which is understanding what the profoundly disturbing implications of the British foreign policy in the Middle East have turned out to be. So we're really glad that everyone here has managed to come down this evening and stand together and try and seek the truth together in terms of what's going on in the Middle East and what the real sources of terror are.
My name is Christos. I'm here because of all what has been happening of late, the bombings. I'm against the bombings. I'm also against the government really just blaming everything on the Muslim community, because I think everybody needs to look at themselves and see the role they're playing in all this. I don't think there's anybody who is to blame, whether you are Islamic, whether you are any other religion. We are all against what has been happening.
There's a lot of suffering in the world, and a lot of it is caused by bureaucracy and by politics. And obviously there is other elements which cause a lot of suffering around the world, but what we are voicing is we are not part of that suffering at all. We don't want to cause any suffering, and nobody with the right mind or any religion would cause any kind of suffering to anybody. So please, I'm asking everybody who's listening, is to not to blame the religions, not to get the religions into this. People who do these things like these, they don't belong to Islam and they don't belong to any other religion. That's one. But to relieve the suffering from the world is a responsibility of every human being. There's one saying of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that if you destroy one life, be it be a Muslim or non-Muslim, it's as though you destroyed the whole humanity. So this is what Islam says. Basically, nobody's got a right to take anybody's life. So if by taking one life, one innocent life, as though you destroyed the whole humanity. So we must remember this, is that Islam is a peaceful religion, and we're very glad you're out here to share this with us. Thank you very much.
In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Master of the Day of Judgment, Lord of the worlds, Thee alone do we worship, and Thee alone do we ask for help. Show us the straight way, the path of those who have earned your favor, not the path of those who go far astray. As Brother Tariq just said, Islam does not condone terrorism in any way, shape or form. In fact, I'll tell you a few things that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said. Strong is not the one who pulls the other down, but strong is the one who contains himself when aroused to anger. Do not say to a people that when a people are good to us, we will be good to them. And when people oppress us, we will oppress them. Do not say that. Instead, say, when a people are good to us, we will be good to them. And when they oppress us, we will not oppress them. Show mercy to every living thing, and he who is in heaven will show mercy to you. Paradise lies at the feet of your mother. These are just a few things that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said to guide us. It has nothing to do with terrorism. One thing I would like to say before I finish is I am proud to be Muslim. I am proud to be British. There is no contradiction in the two. There is a false debate being created about are you British or are you Muslim. The two go together. They do not contradict. It's like a man who's a poet and a vegetarian. He goes to a dinner party, he'll tell people he's a vegetarian. When he goes to do a speech, he'll tell people he's a poet. He's not going to tell people at a dinner party that he's a poet. They need to know he's a vegetarian. In the same way, I am proud to be British and I am proud to be Muslim. There is no contradiction in the two. Islam is my religion and British is my culture. And just one more thing. The reason I am proud to be British is because of people like you. People like you who make this country what it is today. This country is so great. It's people like you and the Muslims here today, the confidence they will get from seeing you here is immeasurable. Okay? And thank you for coming up, turning here.
Prayers there from Bristol's Muslims and tributes to those 60 or so local residents in Easton who turned out last Friday at a vigil organised by Bristol's socialist workers to support the city's Muslim community. If you want to show your support, please write to or otherwise contact the Bristol Muslim Cultural Society. They're at http://bmcs.gotadsl.co.uk. That report was compiled by Dialect's Tony Gosling. And now just to let Glenn know at bluecycle.com, please keep listening. Stanley Forbes will be back in a little bit. Now we have a metal number. It's from the Bristol band called Blackfire, and the track is called Join Me in the Darkness.
Join me in the take your soul. Let me take you by the hand in the thrill of rock and roll. You and me together.
Metal group with their new track Join Me in the Darkness. They're always playing locally and got quite a lively reputation. www.blackfire.co.uk for more info. And now for Jess Sparks is here with his What's On guide for this week to tell us what's rocking Bristol over the next few days.
Thank you, Tim. Good evening. This is your weekly What's On guide from Radio Dialect. Let's get straight into the action with telling you about tomorrow night. At the Reckless Engineer in Bristol, the AC/DC tribute band Hell's Bells will be performing. Not sure on the price or what time it starts, but get down there early as this band are very popular and you don't want to miss them. Also tomorrow night, this time at the Fleece, the popular soul, jazz and blues vocalist Emma Hutchinson and her band will be performing with support from the John E. Vistick Experience and Pete Rowe. Entry is £5 on the door, and doors open 8 p.m. On Saturday night, this time at the Bristol Zoo Gardens, the ex Courtney Pine and Jazz Jamaica star trombonist Dennis Rollins will be performing with his band. For this special appearance, the band will be joined by guest star Andy Shepherd on saxophone. Tickets in advance are £17 for adults and £12 for concessions, and £18 for adults on the night and £13 for concessions. This event will start at 7:30 p.m. Now moving on to Song of the Week, and I decided to move away from rock and metal tunes and play you a skiffle track. This is from the Skiffle Sessions live in Belfast and features Lonnie Donegan, Van Morrison and Chris Barber, and the track is called Frankie and Johnny.
This is the first song I ever learned, actually.
Frankie and Johnny were sweethearts. Lordy, how that good love. Want to be true to each other, yeah, true to the sky they both. He was a man, wouldn't do no wrong. And Frankie and Johnny went walking, and Johnny had on a new suit, If Frankie spent $100 notes just to make a man look cute, he was a man. He wouldn't do no wrong.
Frankie went over to the bar room, stopped for a bottle of beer, said to the old bartender man, "Yeah, my loving Johnny man be here. He was my man. Lord, but he's been doing me wrong, so wrong."
Johnny looked over the transom door, and there to her great surprise, "Hey, had a loving man, Johnny, making love and nearly blind. He was her man, but he was doing it wrong." Ah, Frankie lifted up her kimono dress, and she threw out a little on the floor.
He said, "One time, twice, three times."
She said, "He ran through the hardwood floor. Yeah, he was her man." See what's the matter with that boy. She come down. Frankie looked up at her. Hear what she said. She said, "Oh, Mr. Johnson, oh, forgive me, please. But I killed your loving son, Johnny, when I'm down on my bended knees. I shot your man, 'cause you were doing me wrong." She said, "I'll forgive you, Frankie." She said, "I'll forgive you.
Also on Saturday night at Mr. Wolf's Noodle Bar in St. Stephen's Street, the outstanding pianist and singer Pete Rowe will be appearing. If you enjoyed him from Friday night with Emma Hutchinson, then this will be another chance to watch his fine and talented musician. On Sunday, we have at the Fleece an event titled A Sunday Roast, which is on from 2 p.m. right through to 11 p.m. and is free entry. It features Fortune Drive, Rebus, New Grand Smoking Palace, Alex Harvest Band, The Doubtful Guest, Wilma Country, Transit Cop, Bombin' Run and Red Light Go. Now for the final gig, and this one is at Barclay Castle in Barclay, Gloucestershire, and features Hayseed Dixie, who play AC/DC songs and other rock and metal songs in a rock and bluegrass style. They are joined by the ever-popular scrumpy and western band The Wurzels, in what has to be the most bizarre lineup I've seen advertised in ages. Tickets are £16 and gates open at 5:30 p.m. with the show starting at 7 p.m. Well, that is all for tonight. Thank you for listening and hope you have a great weekend. Take care and good night.
That was this week's What's On with Jeff Sparks.
Radio Dialect is your local internet radio station. Check our website on radiodialect.net.
Radiodialect.net. Now Stanley Forbes is here for his musical reaction to the week's events.
Good evening. This one's going out to Glenn at Blue Cycle. I don't want to go to Walton Towers or Four Park or Chessington and queue for hours, cos there's a new type of ride that's far more advanced. It makes Space Mountain look like a farce. Oh, Walt Disney, why don't you shove it up your ass? Cause I want to fly Air France. We'll coo with excitement and we'll shake with wonder as the pilot slams the brakes and makes us near fatal blunder. Ooh, where did the runway go, Mel? How we'll scream and we'll crash into the ditch and break in half and then get ushered to the exit by the highly trained staff. Ooh, and the engines start to blow. Man, let's travel with unheard of decadence. Book ourselves a first class seat on Air France. Oui, oui, champagne, and I'll have a pernod. As we finish our descent through the air, we consider ourselves very debonair. As the plane plunges into an inferno, so why should I want old Autumn Towers with the pissy little words that I've been waiting for hours, when I could be flying? I could be flying. I could be flying.
That's all we have time for on tonight's show, so a very good evening from all of us at Dialect. Tonight's Dialect was brought to you by me, Gemma Honour, Tim Jennings, Richard Ayres, and with our features this week coming from Tony Gosling, David Williamson and Jeff Sparks. Away this week were regular producer Tony Gosling and presenter Martin Cosgrove, who are both away at the Big Green Gathering. So have a nice weekend to the two of you.
Dialect is a community access internet broadcasting cooperative. If you want to have a go at reporting, presenting or producing one of our programmes, please get in touch. Just speak to Volunteering Bristol on Royal Oak Avenue opposite Jury's Hotel or call them on 0117 989 7733 or contact us directly on the web at www.radiodialect.net or even just radiodialect.net. You don't even need the www. So thanks for listening to all of us from all of us at Dialect and have a very good evening.